Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for turning out. We're very happy to see you here. Ruth and I have been doing this particular workshop now. This is our fourth or fifth year, so we're fairly practiced at doing it, and hope you'll enjoy the experience this morning. What we're going to try to do is cram into 2 hours a semester-long course that both Ruth and I teach at our institutions. So if things seem a little rushed, it's because of that. We're a little more deliberate in our approach when we're teaching this on a regular basis. But what we're going to try to do is help you get started in terms of writing. And many times, getting started is the hardest part of doing a particular paper. So let me sort of run through and just give you a brief outline of what we're going to do this morning so that you know where we're going. First, I'm going to give you a little bit of general advice. Ruth will follow me with some examples and give you some insights as to how we structure things. Then the next thing we'll do is do what we call the getting started exercise. And before anybody panics, yes, you will be asked to write something down during this time you'll be here with us. So that will be about the middle of the program this morning, and then we'll finish up this morning with some somewhat specific advice on how to put a paper together, some tricks of the trade that will help you as you organize your paper. So how many folks in here think writing is easy other than Ruth? She's probably the only person in this room that thinks writing is easy, because she's a very painless writer. She does a wonderful job. For the rest of us mere mortals, writing is a real challenge. It is something that takes a lot of effort on our part. Mostly what makes it hard is not necessarily knowing where we're going. So what we're going to try to do is help you find your way, help you come up with a system this morning that will help you find your way to a successful manuscript. So, many of the things that we're going to talk about this morning are intended to not make writing harder than it necessarily needs to be. And we're going to show you some tricks that will help you to do that. So the first thing, and a really important thing that is very helpful to you when you begin to think about writing a paper, and can everybody hear me okay if I stand over here? Are you okay? The first thing that you really need to do is know the audience that you're writing this paper for. You don't write the paper sort of and then decide later on, well, maybe it's more appropriate for this journal, or maybe it's more appropriate for this particular audience. So you need to decide at the very outset who you're writing this paper for. So if you're in writing for your peers, your research peers, that's one group of people. If you're working in an area where you want to do some outreach to your work, that's a different group of people. And how you would structure that publication is going to be influenced by who you're writing it for. And obviously, if you're writing this as a general interest article for the general public, then the level that you write at is going to be very different still. So the first very important thing is to know your audience, know where you're going with this paper, what journal, what type of audience you're going to be pitching this article to. So that's the first very important decision you need to make. Okay. Then the next thing that you need now to begin to think about is knowing your message. One of the things that is really important is having a clear perception of where you're going with your paper. So, and that comes from having spent a lot of time looking at the data that you have collected as part of your study. Before you begin to write, you're going to have analyzed your data. You're going to have looked at all possible combinations and permutations of figures and tables and all these sorts of things that are going to be ultimately a part of your paper. But you need to get an idea of the message that those data are giving you. Okay, as you work with your data, as you convert your data into figures and look at it that way, as you put your data into tables and look at it that way, as you do a number of different things, as you do your statistical analyses, you begin to get this idea that of the evolving story. So the very important thing that you're going to learn today, and this is probably the most important thing, is this thing right here, is to make an outline. Get some idea of where you're going with this paper so that you write only what you need. Okay? And we're going to give you some tips on how to organize this and how to order these things so that you do know how to make this outline and get to the, as we say, separate the wheat from the chaff. Because in any piece of research that we all do, there's certain really salient points or important kernels that come out of this experience that you want to put together. So, again, making it easier is really dependent on organizing your thinking and the way you present the information. So before you begin to write, you want to find the best question to go with your answers. Now, how many of you have thought about writing in this way? You've got the answers now. You probably started with a question. Okay? Your research was intended to answer that question, but oftentimes what we find is our answers no longer match that question. So, now, here's a bit of fallacious thinking that we all get into. Since we started out with that question, we somehow feel obligated to stick with that question and try to answer it even though our data no longer tell that story. So one of the really important things you want to do after you become very familiar with your data is to go back and look at the question that you're going to answer. And it, as I said earlier, it may not be the question you started with. So the very important thing that you need to, if you get nothing else from what we talked to you about today, is this statement right here. Okay? You want to begin this process with the end in mind. If you're going to take a journey and you want to get to a particular place as directly as you possibly can, then you have to know where that place is you're going. The same thing is true with a manuscript. You have to know where you're going to end up. You have to know what question you're going to answer with your manuscript. So, if you remember nothing else from this workshop this morning, remember that when you begin the writing process, to begin with the end clearly in mind. And I think if you'll see that if you don't have the end clearly in mind, what you're going to do, you may eventually get there, but you're going to take some sort of circuitous path, and it's going to take you a while to get to that end. If you have the end clearly in mind, you can go directly to that. So Ruth is going to talk to you now about some questions, give you some ideas about how you go through the question process.
And this is, in fact, what your exercise is designed to do. Bypass all the circuitous routes and help you start with the question that's going to work for you. So I have some examples from my own experience. This isn't one of my papers, actually. I won't say who wrote this paper. So the question was a great question. What factors explain high nitrogen mineralization rates after forest harvest? So these researchers measured in a clear-cut and an untapped forest soil moisture and temperature, gross and net nitrogen mineralization. And what did they find for an answer? Stream and soil nitrogen concentrations were high after harvest. We've all seen that before. But mineralization rates were not higher in the clear cut than in the control. Is that surprising? So it's a really interesting result. High nitrification results from the lack of uptake by trees, not from higher gross mineralization rates. That's a nice story. Right? This should be publishable. But we absolutely don't want to ask that question, what factors explain high nitrogen mineralization if there is no high nitrogen mineralization? So you get the idea about finding the answer to go with the question. What would finding, I'm sorry, finding the question to match your answer. You know, you were never asked to do that at school. Here's a good answer. What's the best question to go with this? So we're going to try a better question. How about this? What factors explain high rates of nitrogen export after forest harvest? That we have. High nitrogen export we have. So we can ask, is it true that nitrogen mineralization rates are increased, or is increased nitrogen availability explained by the absence of tree uptake? I like alternate hypotheses, so I like this question better than the old question. Another example. The goal of this project was to describe coarse woody debris, the amount and the nutrient content of coarse woody debris as a function of silvicultural treatment. We thought this was a good question. So if you do a partial cutting, you know, there should be less coarse woody debris generated than if you do a clear cut. And that was the original question. So what happened? The volume of coarse woody debris was not closely related to cutting intensity. So you can guess I'm going to want to change the question. It was lower when fuel costs were high, because then there's a market for firewood. I hadn't thought about that. I'm a forest ecologist. I don't think about it. Economics. It was high after the particle board factory closed. There's not a market for wood chips. And it was high after a windstorm. So what would make a good question to go with these answers? How about just asking what factors are important to predicting volume and nutrient content of coarse woody debris? Is harvest intensity sufficient? These are the questions in your getting started exercise, and we seem to have lost the animation. So, what I recommend is that you start with number 3 because you can't change your results. So you know what your results are, and then we just talked about how to choose a question that goes with your results. That's number 2, and that's what we've just been talking about. And when we get to the time to do this exercise, we're going to break you up in small groups and you can help each other. Is that your original research question? I bet you could do a better question than that. Okay, so the next thing that I want to talk about is how to choose the big picture context for your study, right? So this would be like the introduction to your paper. Why is this important? To whom does it matter? And then the conclusions should relate back to that big picture. So going back to my nitrogen mineralization example, we have an answer and a question that we like. So very often you'll see an introduction to a paper that sounds something like this. We had an opportunity to measure gross and net nitrogen mineralization and nitrification in a clear cut in northern hardwood. Does that tell you why it's important? So we want to make sure we get back up to the big picture. Who cares? Why do we need to know? The belief that decomposition and nutrient mineralization increase following disturbance is really important. It affects local budgets for your particular forest. It affects global carbon budgets. But this belief hasn't been tested. That's a really good problem statement. Why is this important? So when we get down to number 4, we wanted to address that problem. So it is true that nitrate losses increase after harvesting, but this is not due to increased nitrogen mineralization. How do you like that? So that doesn't help me with my global carbon budgets, right? I want to get back. At the very end of your paper, you want to get back to the big picture implications. Ecosystem nitrogen budgets should not assume that mineralization increases after disturbance. Carbon budgets, too, may be an error if decomposition is assumed to increase after forest harvest. It's like an hourglass. I'm trying to remember the name of the scientist who wrote a paper about writing. I'll tell you later when I remember. The beginning of your paper, this introduction, this number 1 should be big picture, okay? And your objectives and your methods and your results, they're what you did. And then at the end, you want to come back to why this is important, what did we learn? So one more example, my coarse-weighted debris example. Oh, you see introductions like this, too. Pools and nutrient concentrations of coarse-weighted debris have not been described in the Catskills. They've been described everywhere, but the Catskills, does that make me excited to read this paper? No. Okay, so how about this? Predicting carbon and nutrient content of coarse-weighted debris over time after forest harvesting is important. Why? To managing forests for non-timber value. Therefore, we need to know what factors are important to making those predictions. That'll work even if my answer is that harvest intensity is not enough. Okay, so conclusions. You guys are going to do this. Even though I've told you this, in your small groups, you're going to find that people have, instead of conclusions, they have results. So you can help them. Push those back into results. In discussion sections all the time, I find really clear descriptions of the results. And you'll do that. And then if you learn to identify that, you'll move it into the results section. Okay? So this is a result, and if we want to address the big question, we would say coarse-weighted debris volume should be measured for accurate assessment. You're not going to find a prediction based on silvicultural treatment. But we did find that nutrient contents could be estimated from measured volumes and published concentrations.